The scripture this morning is from the book of Numbers, chapter 21, verses 4 to 9. From Mount Hor, they set out by the way to the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom. But the people became impatient on the way. The people spoke against God and against Moses. "Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there's no food and no water, and we detest this miserable food." Then the Lord sent poisonous serpents among the people, and they bit the people so that many Israelites died. The people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned by speaking against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord to take away the serpents from us." So Moses prayed for the people, and the Lord said to Moses, "Make a poisonous serpent and set it on a pole, and everyone who is bitten shall look at it and live." So Moses made a serpent of bronze and put it upon a pole, and whenever a serpent bit someone, that person would look at the serpent of bronze and live. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Are we ready to hear the word? The good news, the gospel. God's word for the people of God in the midst of the people of God. This is Matthew. If you would stand with me and you were comfortable doing so, let us hear the Lord talk to us. When they came to the crowd, a man came to Jesus, knelt before him, and said, "Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is an epileptic and he suffers terribly. He often falls into the fire and often into the water. And I brought him to your disciples, but they could not cure him." Jesus answered, "You faithless and perverse generation, how much longer must I be with you? How much longer must I put up with you? Bring him here to me." And Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of him, and the boy was cured instantly. Then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, "Why could we not cast it out?" And he said to them, "Because of your little faith. For truly I tell you, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Good morning. I was one who went to the Metropolitan District Annual Conference last Saturday. Some of you have been there before. This one was quite different. The morning was spent listening to a pastor from I think she's in Ohio. But she was supposed to be our keynote speaker and got snowed in New York City. But thank goodness for technology. They live streamed her whole presentation and everybody could hear her, see her. And she did a great job, and Pastor Peter will tell you about her message. It was interesting because they did all of the district meetings together by technology. In Utah, Wyoming, Colorado, and part of Idaho, there were over 800 people meeting together at the same time, but in different places. And I heard the morning presentation, and then in the afternoon, the bishop preached and did the worship service, and she was in Sheridan, Wyoming, and they live streamed it so that everyone heard the same message, heard worship together, had communion, and with the communion, we got to take home a mustard seed to plant. But the bishop used this sermon or the scripture that was on the screen about the mustard seed. Interestingly enough, about 2 weeks ago, Pastor Peter preached about the disciples and Jesus going up on the mountain, and Jesus was transfigured, and they were in awe, and they heard God say, "This is my beloved Son. Listen to him." But now they come down from the mountain, and a few days later, someone comes, brings a child that has epilepsy to the disciples, and they can't heal him. And Jesus gets a little annoyed with them and says, "How long am I going to have to put up with you people?" And he rebuked his disciples several times because they just didn't get it. Sometimes we just don't get it. But then a little later, they got up the courage to say to him, "Why couldn't we heal that boy?" And he said, "Because of your little faith." And things are happening in our Methodist church. I'm going to annual conference in June. It's going to be in Ogden, Utah. And we'll be having the Yellowstone Conference and the Rocky Mountain Conference meeting together and probably voting to merge. So we need this type of technology that can reach people in great distances. And the sermon was called Mountain Movers. And they asked the question, why maybe are you hesitant to be a mountain mover? And in thinking of that, I said, I have not been a mountain mover because I'm afraid of technology, some of it. It moves so fast, they're making such strides, and I feel like I can't keep up. But with the challenge to have just a little faith, even a little bit as a mustard seed, and God can make that grow and be better. And I thought, why not? Why not try? So that was my coming away from that sermon, that I'll try. And so keep me in your prayers. While I have the pulpit, I want to let people know that we are having lay servant ministries classes April 27th and 28th. And if you want information about those, come see me. Thank you.
Are you surprised that she advocated for lay servants? This is the district quiet disciple, so we know that she's in the middle of leading and leading us on. Thank you, Alba. She continues to do that. She alluded to Christian Peel as the name of the woman. She's actually from Riverside Church in New York City. She is the Executive Minister of Institutional Advancement. I wrote it down. That little boy, and I mentioned it in the children's moment, in the scripture you heard it, he is moonstruck. He's a lunatic. If in that day and age, if you went out and got the wrong moonbeams, you'd be afflicted and you'd be inhabited by demons. And not only would it change your ability to be in the world, how many of us are a little afflicted? Come on, we all are, aren't we? But this poor young lad falling in the fire, falling in the water, we need to understand something. When we see someone special today, most of us are very compassionate. We have a society that has learned and has grown around that and is generally very welcoming. In that day and age, it was not the case. If someone was afflicted, they were outcasts. So they and their family would become both socially and economically outcast, separated from, kept away from. They were completely denied the community. And so here is a family that is now afflicted, and Jesus comes and he heals the young man. But think of what that meant. It means now the family is no longer detested, no longer shunned. It was a huge change. I have to tell you a story about my lovely grandmother. She stood about 3 foot something. She was a lovely lady, grew up on Pagosa Springs. How many of you know where Pagosa Springs is? A horse ranch down there. And she hated Indians. You have to understand, living on the plains in that period of time, it was a time when the expansion of the white man was happening and there was resistance. And there were people that were angry. There were Native Americans that resisted. We understand some of that dynamic now, looking back. But she was terrified of them, and the rumors and stories that people would spread about them had led to the point where she viewed them as less than human. They were animal creatures out there that were to be feared, that were vicious. She hated them. She was afraid of them. She was angry at them. She was terrified. Poor woman, it was good that she moved to Arvada, Colorado, at some point in time. Not quite as many Native Americans roaming around. She was a sweet lady, good Christian lady. She knew scripture. She knew all of that about it. But she had a mountain between herself and the Native Americans. You hear that mountain thing in there? There's a difference. There was a distance that had been put up by her, probably, and that had grown between her and them, such that they were isolated one from another. None of us know anything about anything like that, do we? None of us know anyone that we're estranged from or are afraid of or are a little fearful of. You get out of a movie downtown and you're walking and there's a group of young men with hoodies on. Have I stepped in it? Have I pushed us a little up against some of our walls? We all have walls. We all have a number of walls, and those walls are being called mountains here. And this is what our speaker, Christian Peel, talked about. The concept that there are divisions. Are there any divisions in our nation today? You can chuckle there. We've been praying about them. We've been thinking about them. We've been aware of those. And one of the things she said was a startling one. She says, "How's your church doing?" She said, "Are you confusing community with homogeny?" You know what homogeny is? All the same, all white, all vote together, all go to the same places together, all think alike. You can stand in the gathering and you'll never hear a disparaging word. And sometimes that's what we seek in our churches. There was a saying that at one point in time that Sunday mornings, 11 o'clock, was the most segregated hour of the week for the United States. And it was true, but that's been changing. And it's changing again, and it's exciting. Because you see, community doesn't have anything to do with homogeny. Community is about being with people that you may disagree with about something, but you agree together about another thing. We gather around Jesus Christ. We have that unity, and we can hold on to that and be about that. I had this sermon, it's all outlined like this, and I'm nowhere in it. I have no idea where I am, so pray for me. See, I talked a little bit about that. She said, "What do you think about people that are good but don't go to church? Have you ever met anybody like that? They can even tell you Bible passages and tell you some of the golden rules and some of those things, but oh no, I don't believe in religion. And they don't trust churches." You know, they have a reason not to trust churches. We have done some awful things. Think about it. We have not, well, we've been hypocrites, I guess is the best term. We'll claim to love one another and follow Jesus and be children of the Prince of Peace, and we don't live it out. I remember a guy saying, I joined a church, first church I joined. He said, I loved it. He said, in church, we all just sing together and love together. You'd get out in the parking lot, and he said, you'd get run over. Now, we need to be aware of that and think that through. And so there's some people that do good, but don't have anything to do with anything religious. But we do good for Jesus Christ and as agents of Jesus Christ. Now, there's some that do that, some that churchy people. I had a friend that used to call me that all the time. Hey, how's the churchy person? It's a good way if you don't need to know if you're a pastor or reverend or his honor or so, you know, whatever. So, churchy person. But some people get caught up in their religion and they think it's all about how many people you can convert to Jesus. Met a poor fella when I was in Ordway. The prison is down there. And his church sent him down there to be a chaplain to the prison. And every week he had to turn in a report of how many people he had converted. Raw numbers. He was the unhappiest man I ever knew. Some of them, you know, he converted some of the same people every week, two or three times. And we laugh a little bit about that, but we've lost sight of what being good for Jesus Christ is about. You see, being good for Jesus Christ is a whole different ballpark. It's looking at somebody else and looking at yourself as well. You begin by looking at yourself and say, I'm a child of God. We believe God created us. God instilled in us some things and that God is with us. Amen? Mountain movers believe that we can see the God in the other. My grandmother, if she could see the God in a Native American, it would have shattered her reality. And it needed shattering. So, the Reverend Peel left us with an assignment. Have as much faith as a mustard seed. Move some mountains. First out, figure out which mountains you own and keep and maintain. Which mountains you're putting up as barriers and places and things where you're terrified or angry with or disgusted with or arrogant above or however we build that mountain between thee and me and do one hard thing about that mountain and do it every day. Just take a little step. Just a mustard seed's worth. We're not out to change the whole world in one day. Some of us want to bite that off and have it all fixed by Monday morning. Not going to happen. Just a little seed. As much faith as a mustard seed can move mountains. And we are called by God to be mountain movers. Good luck, little seeds. And wish for me as well. Amen.